Welcome to episode 445 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show where we talk about Microsoft entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms.
Happy birthday, Richard.
Aw, thank you, Josh. And by the way, happy birthday to you, because by the time people are listening to this, I'll bet many of them are actually listening to this on your birthday.
That's very possible. If they're delayed listeners by a couple of days, yeah, it will be my birthday when they're listening. So April's a great month for Entertainment 2.0. I like it.
Absolutely. I like it a lot. Absolutely. And I just got back from Walt Disney World, you know, my little Mecca. So I'm very happy.
I just wish that it would actually be spring instead of winter. It snowed today.
Yeah, that's not fun. We didn't get snow, but no. It was cold here.
Yeah, but no one wants to hear the weather. Nope. Instead, they want to give us advice and tell me what terrible movies I should watch. And most of the people who did that by sending an email to entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. Our first one this week came from Brian, and he says, "Hi, Josh and Richard. Love the podcast. Keep up the awesome info. My favorite is when Richard shares when he gets the free 4K UHD digital copy from iTunes, like when he shared about getting the Dark Crystal 4K version on iTunes a couple episodes ago. So please keep that info coming. Question for both of you," and this is actually a really good question, I like this. "When you get a new Blu-ray with a digital copy code, do you still make a backup using MakeMKV, or do you just rely on the digital copy code as your backup? If you do make a backup using MakeMKV, which one do you usually play? The digital copy that you got with the movie, or the one that you made using MakeMKV?"
Josh, I guarantee you Brian is not expecting the complexity he's going to get in our answers.
Or at least the complexity from your answer.
Yeah, exactly. So I will start because mine is kind of the most complicated, I think. Tend to is the wrong way to put it. I always make a backup of every movie I buy. Obviously, we don't have the ability to readily backup and replay UHD movies yet. So what that means is that I'm backing up the Blu-ray, and that ensures that I'll always have at least a Blu-ray copy, which still looks great on my television, on the Plex server. And the reason for that is so that everything is in one place, right? I want to have the most number of movies on Plex. It's not going to be everything because it doesn't include the freebies that we've gotten through various digital promotions, but it is the majority, the bulk of my library. Now, what do I watch? Depends.
Yeah, that's where this gets really tricky, isn't it?
So the first variable is Richard home?
Right.
If Richard is not home, then usually the movies get watched either from Plex or from Apple TV. So,
and when you say Apple TV, what do you mean?
Well, I really mean the Apple library.
Okay.
Now, if I am home, then the next variable is, do I have the movie in 4K?
Right.
And if I do, then the next variable is it available with Atmos online, the digital copy? Like, can I just watch it with Vudu and get HDR and the Atmos audio? And if I can, then I'll watch it there. If I can't, I'm going to go get my disc and put it in the Xbox and watch it that way. I told you it was overly complicated.
What if you're on the road and you're wanting to watch something? So you're on a plane or at a hotel room. Then what do you do?
I almost always watch it off of the online service before I try and get it off of my Plex server.
Okay. That makes sense.
How about you?
I think I'm pretty similar to you, although the quantity is far lower. I don't buy nearly as many movies as you because we don't watch them a ton. So like you, I do rip probably everything, probably just about everything that I buy. But again, I don't have the means of ripping 4K UHD Blu-rays. It is technically possible. I have a friend, a listener of the show, who's doing that and filling up massive hard drives in the process. But I don't have the capability of doing that just yet. So again, like
I need to interrupt you. What do you do to play those back, though?
The 4K disc?
Yeah.
Plex will play them.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Huh. All right.
Yeah, it's totally doable. So for me, like you, what copy I actually watch is a little bit dependent, although maybe not quite as much, because I've been really terrible about redeeming the digital copies. Well, I was especially terrible before Movies Anywhere, because that just made it way easier. You know, now that we've got Movies Anywhere, it's way easy because I can watch them anywhere and I can redeem almost anything into one service. So if that's the case and I've actually redeemed it and I can view it on Vudu or the Movies Anywhere app, then sometimes we will just go that route. We use Plex more than anything, but if it's going to be a 4K movie that I've purchased the 4K Blu-ray for, then I'm pulling the disc out and we're sticking it in the Xbox. There's no debate. If I've got it, even if I had a 4K digital copy, I wouldn't do it. I would put in the 4K UHD Blu-ray.
Okay.
Because why wouldn't I? It's going to look the absolute best that way.
Right.
And then when I'm on the road, I usually just do the Plex Sync. Yeah, that's what they call it, a sync, where you can download a copy of your content from your Plex library to your device, so to my tablets generally. And I do that before I leave home. So I'll have things in mind that I'm going to want to watch or that my kids are going to want to watch. Use Plex Sync to easily download them to my tablets and then just take them with me and not have to worry about streaming anything.
Hmm. See, I do that with TV shows, but I don't do that with movies because I can't really anticipate what movies I'm going to watch, but I have an idea of what TV shows I'm going to watch because I have, you know, the next available show for each different show, right? So,
right. Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, before we get off this, we have to go back and cover one more thing. I have very bad news.
Uh-oh.
For Brian. Well, maybe it's not very bad for Brian, but it was very disappointing to me when Apple came out and said, we're going to upgrade all of your HD movies to UHD. I saw a bunch of my movies that I had redeemed through them getting upgraded. And I was under the impression that as I was updating movies from Movies Anywhere and Vudu, that those movies were also getting updated to 4K on the Apple TV under the Apple library. But a listener pointed out that, in fact, it may appear as though a movie is listed as 4K when I go and I just look at it and look at the tag to see what the quality is. But if I actually play it back, it's not in 4K. And what I haven't figured out is, well, then how does Apple determine now that Movies Anywhere exists? And when you redeem a movie, you're redeeming a movie across all the services, not just Apple's own. How do they determine when you actually get 4K upgrades and when you don't? Because they're saying that if you bought HD, that you're getting a 4K upgrade. Maybe that's only on legacy titles and not on new ones. I don't know. But I can confirm that I have a ton of legacy titles that are, in fact, 4K. They appear in the 4K section of my library, not just tagged as 4K, but there's a separate filter for 4K movies on the Apple TV. And they play in 4K. But new redemptions that I've made that redeem in HD are not getting upgraded. They just have the 4K tag on them. I don't know. I guess because they're available as 4K? I don't understand that at all. I think it's stupid. Doesn't make any sense to me. But in reality, I do not have a 4K version of the Dark Crystal. One is available. I don't know how to get it, but yeah.
Are you redeeming them in iTunes or whatever the Apple thing is, or are you redeeming them through Movies Anywhere?
Well, now I'm redeeming them in Movies Anywhere, because when you get movies now with Movies Anywhere, with digital copy, they come with Movies Anywhere redemption codes.
Will those codes work from Apple?
That's a good question. I haven't tried that. I should try that.
Yeah, because what I'm guessing is that Apple will only do the 4K upgrade for things that you redeem through them.
And I think that that is the rule, but that's why I was wondering then, right? What about stuff through Movies Anywhere? I'll have to give that a try and see how that works. But it's a little bit more confusing and not as wonderful as I thought it was.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Sorry.
Well, good to know. Well, we have some more feedback. I'm going to read the one from Ryan, but I got the same feedback from Ryan and Anthony and Jack and pretty much everyone else in the entire universe. Ryan said, I just listened to the last episode of the show and as always enjoyed it. When you guys were talking about your Avengers movie watching, I would have to say, watch Ant-Man. I really enjoyed that one more than I thought I would. I recently saw the latest Thor and didn't care for it. I know many people that thought it was great. I'm looking forward to see the latest Avengers. Now, the reason why I really wanted to read Ryan's here is because it's the best argument for me to watch Ant-Man, because Ryan is the only one that I've talked to amongst all of these people who agrees with me that Thor sucked.
Yeah, you're both wrong.
And he still liked Ant-Man. So maybe since I thought Thor sucked, I'll like Ant-Man too, but I doubt it. So I'm going to watch it, I guess. I don't want to, but we're going to freaking watch it.
Give it a try. Come on.
Yeah. Even Jen feels browbeaten enough that she's given in to watching Ant-Man. So we'll start watching these soon. I guess we're going to have to start watching them real soon, because, I still haven't actually figured out in my head when the next Avengers movie comes out, but I think it's in May, so that's not much time.
Nope, right around the corner.
Yeah. All right. So that is it for our feedback this week. That email address again is entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. GP3 in the chat says April 27th. Is when the Avengers movie comes out.
Ooh.
That's not enough time.
You don't have to see it opening weekend.
Well, yeah, that's true.
It's not like you love these movies.
No. I mean, we did see the last couple of Avengers movies on opening weekend, but yeah, maybe not. Maybe not this time around. Okay. That's it for our feedback this week. If you don't like email, we'll give all of our other contact information at the end of the show. But let's get into our actual news topics for this week, starting with some video news. Richard, this news is right up your alley. I don't know anyone who's better suited for this news. HD Home Run from Silicon Dust, they have updated their iOS app, meaning iPhones and iPads, not Apple TVs, now support DRM playback from the HD Home Run Prime tuners. So if you've got a cable company that is DRM locking out all of your channels, well, it won't matter, because now you can watch them on your phone if you have an HD Home Run Prime.
Yeah, this is good news. This was previously only available on Windows platforms. So now on the Apple TV, you'll also be able to use your HD Home Run app and watch all your channels. I'm really happy to see this. The trouble is I don't really like the HD Home Run experience, but this does give me more than I would have if I were to just use my Plex app on iOS, because Plex, of course, is only able to see the un-DRM'd channels. So I wouldn't be able to get Fox Sports. Oh, right. I don't care about that. I wouldn't be able to get, let's see, Cinemax, which is mostly like sleazy soft porn anyway, so I don't really care about that. HBO. Okay, so I wouldn't be able to get HBO, so that's bad. But yeah, no, I joke, but I think this is a good addition. I don't have any idea when we're going to see similar support for the Apple TV. It's not as straightforward as just saying, you know, check the box for tablet and then check the box for TV. They have to do some work to make this happen. So hopefully we will see that coming soon. I don't think there are any technical limitations to making it happen, though.
I'm not sure. There might be some certification complications, but I'm not entirely sure on that front either.
Yeah.
Do you tend to watch live TV on mobile devices like phones and tablets?
Nope, never.
I do, but that's because like just this weekend, I wanted to watch hockey and one kid was watching TV on the TV and the other kid was watching YouTube on the computer and I had no other option. So I grabbed my tablet and watched
hockey. The only time I will tend to do that is if there's something that I can't watch on the TV itself. And the only example that I can think of for that is NASA TV, because my Fios does not cover or does not carry, rather, NASA TV. So if I want to watch a launch, for example, I have to watch it on a device. I could watch it on my computer, I guess. And there have been times when I've opened like a Chrome tab and then Chromecasted that to the TV in my office so that I could watch it that way.
Right. Okay. Well, our next bit of video news is from Tableau. They are the makers of over-the-air DVR boxes, and they've got a new one that is brand new. It's available now. It is called the Tableau Dual Light. This is a dual tuner over-the-air DVR box that goes back to their roots, meaning it's a bring-your-own storage sort of thing where it's just a little box with a processor and tuners inside of it, and you need to plug a USB hard drive into it. But they've made some new feature enhancements to this guy that are a little bit different. One is you can, I think, scrap the extra hard drive entirely and go with a cloud DVR. We've seen cloud DVRs before, but I can't think of another device where you could record entirely locally or record entirely to the cloud. It's a new service that's in beta, and because of it being in beta, there's some good things and some bad things. The good thing is that while it's in beta, it's free. The bad news is the storage is really limited while it's in beta. You're only going to have 40 gigs of storage during that beta period, which is about 16 hours of HDTV, according to them and their calculations. The full pricing details haven't been announced yet. We're going to have to wait a little while before we find out how much their cloud DVR service is actually going to cost. There's also the little issue of guide data. You do have to pay for that with Tableau, as you do with most services. Guide data can be paid monthly at $5 a month. You can pay for a year at $50 a year, so you save a couple of months worth of fees there, or $150 for a lifetime subscription. Also, they have a new service called Tableau Connect that if you pay for the guide data, you also get this service. And it's basically just a way of being able to stream your Tableau content when you're away from home, so over your LTE connection or whatever on your phone. Now, again, as a reminder, if you're not super familiar with what Tableau is, it doesn't have an HDMI port on it. You don't connect this straight to your TV. It is basically just kind of the back-end TV server. In order to watch anything, you have to use an app on something else. Unfortunately, they have apps on practically everything. Of course, iOS and Android are available. Xbox has an app. Apple TV has an app. I think Android TV has an app. Roku. It seemed like practically everything except for PlayStation 4. I'm not sure what's up with that, but no PlayStation 4 app. Pretty much everything else, though. So
yeah, and there's also a plugin for Kodi if you use Kodi on various platforms. Oh, nice. So, you know, you're pretty much covered nearly anywhere you go.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So this is available now, exclusively available at Best Buy. Not really sure what's up with that, but $139 will get you that device, not including the hard drive. So take that into consideration. But you've probably got an external hard drive floating around somewhere, right? Most of us nerds do. So you could just plug that in and make use of it here for Tableau and have yourself an over-the-air DVR.
I remember when we first started covering this product, and I forget what the other one was too. There was another Simple TV. Is that
Simple TV? Yep.
And this whole idea of a bring your own hard drive was just such an offense to us. And now I'm like, geez, I have like spare 2 and 3 terabyte hard drives all over the place. So the idea of trying to find one and having to provide my own now is just kind of a non-issue.
Well, I think the thing that offended us, was at least me, because I remember writing that article, is that it's not that simple. Like for you and me, yeah, that's an easy proposition to just go and grab another hard drive that we've got laying around and hook that up and everything will be fine. But for mom and pop and your average run-of-the-mill person who just wants to watch themselves some free over-the-air TV, it's not quite that easy. And the name just wasn't super accurate, in my opinion.
For the Simple TV, yeah.
Right.
Good point. All right, one more quick story that I'm going to throw in here. Again, if you are an Xbox user and you use Xbox to consume your video content, or really any platform that supports Hulu, and, well, kind of like Tableau, Hulu is everywhere. It's built into nearly every TV. It's on all the major Fox platforms. There's a special deal going on right now where you can get a free week of HBO, followed by HBO service on Hulu for $4.99 a month for 6 months. That is a third of the price of the normal subscription. And the wow. HBO service on all of these devices is a pay-as-you-go kind of thing. So when you're done, you just cancel it. There's not any long-term commitment or anything if you don't like it. Why is this coming up right now? Well, because they have the new season of Westworld starting next weekend. So they're really trying to get people onto HBO and get them into the new show. And this is a really good deal if you've been thinking about maybe trying to use HBO and you don't have it already, or maybe switch to a cord-cutting solution for HBO. See how you like it. Maybe use that as a way of seeing if you could tolerate it for other channels, too.
Yeah, it's a great way to test the cord-cutting waters.
So, really good deal there, and we'll have a link in the show notes to the page at Hulu where you can take advantage of this.
Well, that's not the only interesting Hulu-related deal going on right now. Hulu and Spotify announced an interesting partnership. Now, this isn't going to be a complete shocker because a few months ago, we reported on a partnership between Spotify and Hulu for people who had an education-based subscription. So there's student-based plans for Hulu and Spotify, and they had a nice deal for those users. But if you're not a student, if you're just a regular Spotify account holder paying your $9.99 a month, well, you can add Hulu to that subscription, pay just one place, pay Spotify, and for 3 months, get Hulu for 99 cents. Then, like, that's a pretty awesome deal. But then, after the 3 months are over, if you keep Hulu tacked onto your Spotify premium plan, it's only $12.99 for both of them a month. So you're paying $3 extra over the price of your Spotify subscription to have Spotify and the limited commercial plan of Hulu, which is normally $7.99. So you're saving $5 a month by bundling what's basically the best music streaming service available, combined with one of the best video streaming services available. And that gives you access to Hulu's catalog of their originals, like The Handmaid's Tale and stuff like that, plus all of their other library of like network TV shows and all that stuff that's on Hulu. It's just, you've got to deal with a few commercials now and then.
Cool.
There are a couple of drawbacks to this, because I would be really, really interested in doing this, but it doesn't work if you have a Spotify family plan. You have to just be on an individual Spotify plan. You can't add this on to family. You also can't do any of the extras that Hulu has. So you can't use this and then upgrade to the no commercials version of Hulu, or upgrade to Hulu's live TV plan, or any of the other premium upgrades that Hulu offers. It's just Spotify premium for one person and just the Hulu limited commercial plan. But that's a really good deal for a lot of people.
Yeah, very cool.
So let's move on to our gaming news for this week. We knew that Microsoft was going to be having another one of their big Inside Xbox events. They did. We knew it was going to be largely focused around backwards compatibility. And indeed, that is the bulk of the news that they announced at that event. And this one was more focused on not Xbox 360 backwards compatibility, but original Xbox. And they announced some pretty big titles. I'm not going to go through all of them, but these are coming out in two waves. The first wave is actually hitting today, the day that we're recording this, April 17th. So, the most well-known titles launching today, Blinks, Morrowind, huge role-playing game. Anybody who's a fan of Skyrim and has never played Morrowind, you might want to check that out. Jade Empire, one of the very first BioWare role-playing games based in ancient China. This is one I've been wanting to play for a while. And SSX 3, a classic, well-loved snowboarding game. The rest of the original Xbox games coming out April 26th. The highlights there being Full Spectrum Warrior, Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 2. Yep, there was a Star Wars Battlefront 1 and a Star Wars Battlefront 2 on the original Xbox and on Xbox One. I don't know why they chose to name them that way, but they did. Also, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2, and basically just every other Star Wars game that was available on the original Xbox. All of those will be available through backwards compatibility on April 26th. They also announced that some 360 backwards compatible games are getting Xbox One X enhancements. And those titles include Gears of War 2, Red Dead Redemption, Portal 2, Star Wars The Force Unleashed, and Darksiders. So some of the most popular Xbox 360 games ever released getting the Xbox One X 4K enhancements. So I'm thinking I might actually get Red Dead Redemption and give that a try, since the sequel is coming out later this year. And now that I can play it in 4K, that might be worth it.
Nice.
I think I just got to borrow the disc from my father-in-law, of all people. So gonna check that out. Some other news. We don't normally just talk about random games being released on the Xbox, but there was one I wanted to highlight because over the last few days, Ninja Theory released Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice on Xbox One. Previously, last August, actually, that game was released for PS4 and PC. Now it's available on Xbox One, and you should get it for two reasons. One, it's Xbox One X enhanced, and OMG, does it look amazing on the One X. And it's a fantastic game that we played for story players. So really, really cool game, really interesting story, a lot of really interesting things going on in that game. And then after you play it, which will probably take you 9-ish hours, then you can go and listen to our story players episode on it. So a whole bunch of reasons to pick up Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. It's $30 on Xbox One. Let's also get into the deals with gold for this week. There's actually a lot on sale and actually a fair number of interesting titles on sale. Friday the 13th is available for $16. That game is normally $40. And it sounds like a lot of fun. This is one that I never got a chance to play, but it's basically one person plays as Jason and everybody else plays as camp counselors, and you're trying not to get killed by Jason. Or if you are Jason, you're trying to kill all the camp counselors. It sounds super fun. Super fun.
Total Skyrim, miss on that price, though. It should have been $13.
$13 would have been awesome. And if it would have been last week so that it could have been on Friday the 13th.
Right.
Yeah, they really, really missed the boat on that one. That's okay. Also, Skyrim Special Edition, which is 1X enhanced, $20. The Surge, lesser known game, but if you're into Dark Souls, or at least like really hard action role-playing games, but are more into the sci-fi thing, that's what The Surge is. This game is 75% off, so it's down to $12.50. So that's one probably worth checking out. Another story players connection here. What Remains of Edith Finch is on sale for $12. Man, did I love that game. You should totally check that out and then listen to the story players episode. And then one other one that I don't actually really know anything about. I don't own it. I'm probably not going to buy it. I just really like to say the name Crypt of the Necrodancer. It's one of my favorite game titles of the last few years. It's on sale. I didn't even look up how much it was, but it's on sale. And I got to say Crypt of the Necrodancer 2 times on this podcast. So that makes me happy.
Nice.
And then real quick, let's just go through the Xbox Live games with gold for April. And on the Xbox One, you've got The Witness all month long. If you love puzzle games, you have to get this. Everyone that I know who enjoys puzzle games is playing through this game right now. So you should too. It's really good if you're into that sort of thing. I'm just not. Also, for April 16th through May 15th, Assassin's Creed Syndicate is your other free Xbox One game. You've already missed out on the first 360 game for April, but you've still got time to pick up Dead Space 2. And again, all of these games with gold, even if they're on 360, they're playable on your Xbox One through backwards compatibility. All right, Richard, let's get into an interesting and sort of kind of confusing story about Xbox and Microsoft rewards and all this stuff.
Yeah, we're filing this under other because I really don't know where else to put it. It's Xbox related, but it's not necessarily gaming related. So we're all familiar with the concept of Xbox Live rewards, right? Are we? I don't know that we are. Anyway,
I don't know that we are. I don't think a lot of people knew about Xbox Live rewards.
Yeah. Well, and frankly, I'm not all that familiar with it, to be completely honest, because I'm not that big of a gamer, right? So,
right.
This isn't something I don't buy stuff. And anyway, this is all very confusing. But what's going to happen is that there's the Xbox Live Rewards program, and it is going to become a part of Microsoft Rewards. Now, Microsoft Rewards, if I understand this correctly, Microsoft Rewards is that whole thing where you're earning points when you're searching. Used to be Bing Rewards. Now,
yes, that is correct.
Now, this not now, but starting this summer, Xbox Live Rewards is basically going to become part of Microsoft Rewards. And so you'll have the ability to earn Microsoft Rewards points from your purchases on the Xbox. And you can earn up to 20 points per dollar spent on different things on the Xbox. And we'll get into that in a little bit. Now, like with Microsoft Rewards, there's tiers. Like if you've earned a certain number of points in a month, then you go from tier one to tier two. In tier one, you basically earn 1 point per dollar. But at tier two, you'll earn 10 points per dollar. And at tier two, if you're an Xbox Live Gold member, then you're going to win 20 points per dollar. So what does this apply to? Well, basically, anytime you buy full games on demand for the Xbox One, arcade games, indie games, game add-ons, season passes, movies, TV shows, don't buy movies and TV shows, please don't do that. Full TV seasons and apps, stuff like that, all of that contributes points. Every dollar spent gets you 1, 10, or 20 points in Microsoft Rewards. It doesn't include things that are basically like longer term subscriptions or passes, stuff like that. So the Xbox Gold membership, if you buy that, doesn't count. If you buy game passes, like the Xbox Game Pass or EA Access, doesn't count. If you buy season passes for TVs or movies, that does not count. And if you buy Xbox gift cards, that also does not count. So it's basically when you buy specific digital purchases. You're buying a digital media item of some sort, not a subscription, not a gift, not a pass. Then you get these rewards. So that's pretty cool, I guess. Now, what I haven't done is any sort of comparison against the current Xbox Live Rewards program, because I'm just not all that familiar with it. How much do you know about it, Josh?
I don't know a ton about it. It was a program that never really worked out that well for me. I think partly because I don't buy that many games digitally, because I buy them physically either, you know, long after they've come out and they're a lot cheaper, or I buy them from Best Buy using Best Buy's Gamer Club Unlocked, which gets you 20% off all of your games. So I'm not entirely sure, but it never seemed like a great rewards program, unlike Microsoft Rewards, which gets you all sorts of points from doing Bing searches and all those types of things. The thing that is really cool about this, though, is Microsoft Rewards has had the ability to give you points for spending money in the Microsoft Store for a while. But it's always been you get 1 point for every dollar spent, which has seemed like a total ripoff to me, because I can spend an actual dollar and get 1 point, or I could do one Bing search and get, is it 5 points for every Bing search?
5 points, or 10 points for any of the things in their weekly newsletter. Or, oh, right. By the way, if you go and do those weekly newsletter things and then look at all the other quizzes and everything, you can easily rack up like 250 to 300 points in like 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah. My co-host on Story Players, Joe, he's really good at maximizing all of his Microsoft Rewards points just by using the Bing stuff. That's it. Mm-hmm. And every single month, he earns enough points to redeem a 1 month Xbox Game Pass card, which I think is like 6,500 points.
Nice.
A month. So people can really cash in on this. So anyway, it used to be, and I think it still is, a dollar per point if you buy things from the Microsoft Store. But now 20 points per dollar if you're buying games. That is so much better of a deal. So I'm actually pretty excited about that. And I actually do use Microsoft Rewards when I didn't really use Xbox Rewards. So yeah, this is all good news.
Cool. Very good stuff.
All right. Well, let's move on to what's going on in our entertainment centers.
All right. Well, so I was traveling, and that always means that I'm using remote services, or as I mentioned before, I try not to use my Plex server, but every once in a while, something I recorded that I don't want to wait for the next night for it to show up on a service, and I'll try and see if I can watch it from my Plex server remotely through my app. And every time I do that, I regret it. I always have problems. I don't know what it is. I need to spend some time and figure out what's going on. And it might this time have been related to the fact that even after I got home, my Plex server basically froze up, or I almost want to say kind of, what do you call the condition where you just run out of memory? Like you have an app that just gobbles up all the memory. That's what the Plex server was doing. I don't know what happened.
Huh.
So I had a service crash. I had to gobble up all the memory. Twice that happened. And then within the last 2 weeks, I think I've seen maybe two or three updates to the Plex server. And remember, I'm on the beta. I don't know if you're on the beta also. So we're probably getting updates a little bit faster than people who are just your typical users.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can say is that since then, I'm not getting those crashes anymore. So that's a good thing.
That is good.
But I had like no guide data, so nothing recorded for like a week.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I was really unhappy about it because my DVR is Plex, right? Like that's what I use now, except for stuff that I record that we're both going to watch, and that still goes on the TiVo. But otherwise, everything that I watch goes on the Plex DVR, and so now I'm just going to have to pay careful attention to episode numbers to see if the next one is there, and if it's not, have to go to some service and find it or buy it, maybe. So kind of frustrated by that.
Yeah.
Been watching a bunch of television. So Homeland, I am up to date on Homeland as of this week. Wow. I think the season has been so good. Really, really, really good. Loving that show. It's really back to exploring Carrie and the relationships that she has and how that affects her work and how her work affects those relationships. And I think it's been very good. Superstore and Big Bang Theory, both of those were really funny this past week, and I'm caught up on those. Still watching Archer whenever I have a free half hour, and love how just completely absurd that is. I think I finished season two and have started season three now, and got back to Nashville because a bunch of that had restarted after the holiday and I hadn't really gotten through all of those. I mentioned that I've been watching Roseanne, and I still really enjoy that show. I think that it's very funny, and they're doing a pretty good job on that. Mr. Robot, I think I got through episode 6, if I remember correctly. So I have 4 more to go to finish off the most recent season of that. And of course, watching Game of Thrones. I tried the first episode of Netflix's new Lost in Space. Have you heard anything about this, Josh?
I heard the guys over on Cord Killers going nuts about it.
So it was interesting. There were a couple things that are kind of hard for me to get past now familiar with the original TV series and the movie's retelling of that series. Now here's yet another retelling. And I'm looking at it thinking, but that's not how, and, you know, I know I can't do that, but it was hard for me to get into as a result of that. I really do like how they introduced the robot. I think it was very, very clever, and I loved that. And if anything, it may have been the turning point of the episode that will get me to come back and watch a second episode. We both watched that together, and Edward and I both watched that, and I don't know if he's going to last. I think I'll probably be watching this one alone. We did, however, start season two of The Crown, and man, I forgot how good that series is, how well done that series is. So I'm looking forward to getting further into that. And as I already mentioned, Westworld season two starts this coming Sunday. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4. As of the time of this recording, I basically have 5 days to watch the remaining 4 episodes of season one, which I should be able to do because I have some time on my hands these days. So maybe I'll do that one day. And then finally, we watched the movie Coco, which I did not see in the theaters. And I'm now really sorry that I did not see this movie in the theaters because
really,
it is just visually stunning.
Mm.
I am so, so impressed with this, with the design and aesthetics of this film, as well as the storyline. I didn't know what to expect. I knew it had to do with death and kind of, you know, crossing over to the other side, but it was so, so good. I can't wait to watch this movie again, frankly. And I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I want to see if it's possible to see it in a theater anywhere still, like maybe just a smaller theater that runs older films, because I would love to see this on the big screen. I have to imagine that the designers of this had so much fun. The artists just creating the environments for that. It reminded me in many ways of Finding Nemo, where there was just so much activity and subtle motion and color and points of interest all over the entire screen and background. And this film was like that nearly the entire movie. I absolutely loved it.
Is it available in 4K?
It is.
Ooh.
So maybe what I really need to do is find a friend that has like an 85-inch 4K screen and sit right up on it.
Right, like 4 feet away from it. Yeah, you should totally do that.
So that's it for me, Josh. How about you?
Well, it is my favorite time of the year. That's right. The NHL playoffs are back. The bad part of that is that means that the NHL TV streaming service becomes useless. They don't have any games available on streaming from there anymore because basically all of the games are now nationally televised. So that means NBC Sports, which I don't have as a cord cutter. So it was time to go back to looking at all of the paid TV streaming providers to see which one made the most sense between Sling TV and Hulu Live and YouTube TV and PlayStation View and DirecTV Now. I mean, there are so many players in this market now, which is just crazy to think that we've come this far in such a short amount of time. And last year, I went with Sling TV. I'd kind of hoped that maybe there would be something different, something better this time around. And there are, you know, all of those other options are there, and they pretty much all have tiers that have NBC Sports, but they're all more money. And I kind of just didn't really see the point in spending more money when I only care about one channel. No one else in my house is going to watch this. I told Jen, I'm like, hey, if you feel like watching live TV, you can do that now. Go to this app. And she's like, I don't care. You don't need to show me. I'm not going to watch live TV. So since it's just me, I figured, hey, let's go back to Sling TV, see if it's advanced much in the year since I had it last. And it kind of hasn't really. The interface is still kind of lame. The DVR is still functional, but kind of lame. I still get nervous trying to record hockey games on it because if they go into overtime, then what? And right. I don't trust that it's going to be smart enough to figure it out.
Right.
So
you couldn't expect it to be.
Right. I mean, maybe I could. It's 2018 for crying out loud.
We have AI in everything. Why can't my DVR work right?
Exactly. I want AI in my DVR. Make it happen. It hasn't happened. So I just have to record, you know, whatever's on next after the hockey game. So that's what I've been doing. And the streaming quality on NBC Sports on Sling still is just okay, but you can use your Sling credentials to use the NBC Sports app. So I'm not even using the Sling app very much unless I need the DVR. Otherwise, I'm just logging into the NBC Sports app for watching everything. And that's going really well. So we're only a week into the playoffs at this point, not even. And that's been working out fine. So that's probably going to be what I'm doing for the next couple of months, assuming that the Penguins continue to kick butt and march forward. So doing that.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
If the Penguins stop kicking butt and don't move forward, do you keep watching?
Well, that's not really something that happens.
Oh.
That's really easy to say when the Penguins have won the Stanley Cup 2 years in a row. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, like I was last year, I'm not confident that the Penguins are going to win the Cup this year. I think there are other teams that are more likely to win it this year, but they might. If they don't, I'll probably, it depends on what teams it is. Like if it were Washington, I probably wouldn't watch just out of spite. It's probably not going to be Washington, though. They might lose in the first round. And if they don't, then the Penguins will beat them in the second round like they do every other year. So that's probably not going to be the case. But there are plenty of teams that I am interested in enough that I would watch some. I just wouldn't watch as much. I mean, I watch every Penguins game during the playoffs. And that won't be the case if they're not in it. So we'll see.
Sure.
Yeah. But I don't, hopefully that won't be an issue. Hopefully I won't have to actually give you an answer to that. So I've also, I think you mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned last time, but you mentioned that you were listening to the audiobook of Ready Player One.
Right.
And you said you were going to finish it while you were traveling. I was also listening to it and I did finish it. Did you finish Ready Player One?
Of course I did not.
Seriously?
Seriously. No, I did not get it done. I still have a lot to go.
Oh, okay. I finished.
I lost steam
yesterday.
Again. I lose steam with these things if they don't catch my attention. Because you're competing with my time for podcasts and, you know, just music, which makes me happy.
Right. Yeah, for me, it's only competing against podcasts. I wouldn't listen to a book while I'm during a time when I would also be listening to music. So for me, it's just competing with podcasts, which is difficult. You know, there's only a couple of days a week that aren't completely slammed with new podcast episodes to listen to. So it did take me a little while to get through this, but I'm done. It was fine. I'm not sure that I'm going to go out and try to, in fact, we're almost definitely not going to go see this in theaters because we're already planning. This is the crazy thing. Jen wants to go see a scary movie. So we're going to go see, what is it called? The Quiet Place or something like that. New super scary movie from John Krasinski. Jen hasn't watched a horror movie since The Ring. We saw that in theaters on our first date, and it scared the crap out of her so much, she hasn't watched a horror movie since.
That was a scary friggin' movie.
It was a super scary movie. So she wants to see this, so we're going to go see that next Friday. And then you've got this Avengers movie coming out soon. We don't get that many opportunities to go to movies. So I'm just going to guess right now, we're not going to see Ready Player One in theaters, but maybe once it becomes available to stream online, then maybe we'll watch it, but meh.
Yeah. I don't know. Bring on the ire, but I don't know what all the hype was about. I'm having trouble getting through it because it's just okay.
Right.
In my opinion.
It's just okay. I completely agree. Yep. And then on the gaming front, I've been playing little, you know, bits and pieces of random things, a little bit of Project Cars 2. I did pick up Hellblade on the Xbox One. So I, you know, played 20 minutes of that to check it out. There was an Xbox One X enhancement for The Division released last week. So I even played that. And I kind of want to play some more of that because that game was so good. And there's so much more to it now. But mostly been playing a lot of Final Fantasy 15. So that's about it for me on the gaming and everything else category because of hockey. You know, it's a lot of hockey, and it's going to be that way for the next couple of months.
Cool.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for what we've been watching and for all of our news this week. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can find us on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard, and the website is at DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I MediaZone. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/theDMZ. We've also got some other podcasts. Richard, you've got one called Home On, covering the latest smart home news and information. What's going on with your show?
Yeah, and an episode coming out in the next couple of days, I speak with Nick Langston, who heads up business development for consumer IoT at TE Connectivity. Now, it's maybe not a name you're familiar with, but I'll bet you've heard of Tyco Electronics. And that's really what the TE stands for. They renamed a couple of years ago. He's a really smart guy who has a focus on wearables, but a really good understanding of IoT in general. Met him at a conference, and we've kept in touch over the last couple of years. So it was great to get him on the show and just kind of run through the latest stories in the news. And there's been a lot going on because we've been recording special episodes for the last couple of shows for Home On. So we're back to a more regular schedule with news and guests. Nick, this next episode and coming up after that, we have someone coming on from Hubitat, a new entry in the smart home hub mix.
Awesome. Well, we've also got Story Players, my other show that I do with Joe D'Estasio, where we play through and then talk about story-based video games. Our most recent episode is still the one from A Way Out. Man, did I love that game. Go and check that out. Play that. And then our next series is coming very soon. I'm not going to say what it is, but it shouldn't be hard to figure out. It is a series. Looking at maybe 6 episodes on that one. But you should also, in addition to those, if you're listening to this, why don't you come along and join us while we record the show? Because we record it live on Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. There's video in addition to the audio and a chat room so you can fully participate in the show. It's a lot of fun. Follow us on Twitter to know for sure when it's going to happen, because that's going to do it for episode 445. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye. Well, I don't know what I'm like, but your audio just went.